This broadcast is general in nature and is provided for informational use only and should not be considered investment advice or an offer for a particular security. Views and opinions expressed are those of Richard Bassett and are subject to change based on market and other conditions. Consult an investment professional regarding your unique situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Keep in mind, investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Investment decisions should be based on an individual's own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
If your retirement is just a few years away, it may be time to adjust your investing strategy.
The shocking statistic is that by the time somebody reaches 65, 95%, they're dead broke, they're dependent on family, or they're dependent on government.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to prove and provide lifetime income.
Welcome to the Financial Planning Hour, presented by J. Marshall Associates of Fall River, hosted by financial advisor Richard Bassett. Over the next hour, be prepared to hear ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. It's time to roll up our sleeves and get to it. Now, here's the host of the Financial Planning Hour, Richard Bassett.
And welcome into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today on the Monday before Snowageddon.
Yeah.
If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, the call-in line is 508-673-1480.
We don't know how many inches we're getting, so you can ask us that if you want to, but
yeah, we don't know. We don't know. I hear it's going to be significant. They're saying 8 to 12, some models are saying. And, you know, I remember a time in New England when that was normal. I remember having 5 to 7 days off a year from school or work because of snow, and it seems like nowadays we don't have them very often. So I guess the lesson is enjoy it. I'm going to be making my leftover Super Bowl food for sure.
There you go.
Also the day after the Super Bowl. So congratulations to the Chiefs again. Yay. And too bad 49ers. So anyway, before we get into the show again, if you got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. I want to start off with a story. I met a client who I've known actually for some time. She is a smaller client. She's got an account through a employer that I represent. I set up the employer retirement plan. So in this case, it was a 401k that I had set up for this particular company, and she is a client or an employee of that company. So in turn, I've met her a few times to handle her own 401k through work. Last Friday, I took the ride up to her house. I will do house calls from time to time if it's convenient for people. So I did that, and I enjoyed the time we spent together. But it was amazing when I walked in the door, because here she is, you know, as far as I know, very little money invested. But when I came in, she started asking me all these questions about other accounts she had with other advisors. And what blew my mind is how little she knew about her money. And that really was the reason I wanted to have the discussion today with the audience, is that, you know, you've got to take time to understand what you own and why you own it. So in this particular client's case, she was risk adverse. And, you know, when I hear the word risk adverse, I mean, that to me, that means I don't want to take a lot of risk. And when I started looking at her holdings, she had 90% plus of her investable assets, her stock market based investments in tech stocks. And you can imagine all the players, you know, Apple and Amazon and the likes. But and that's fine. We're not really here today to talk about her holdings and the legitimacy of each one. What I want to talk about is the fact that here's somebody who's telling me, I'm risk adverse. I don't want to take risk. Yet she's got 90% of her money in the stock market invested in tech. And when I asked her why, she really didn't have an answer other than, well, my guy picks this stuff. Well, does the guy pick the stuff like the Wild West and has full reign and gets to invest the any way he wants? Because that's called discretion, and I don't really agree with that. Or does the guy or gal sit down with you every year and say, okay, Dave, what kind of person are you? Are you risky? Are you not risky? Do you want to lose? Do you not? No one wants to lose, of course, but what kind of risk are you willing to take with your money? Because we all know the story. The more risk you take, the more money you make, sure. But also the more risk you take, the more money you make. in the good years and the more money you'll lose in the bad. So this particular, I think, client had a great example of somebody who's not having enough of a relationship with her financial advisor, her financial professional. 90% of the money's in tech stocks. She has no idea what that means, what risk it takes. And it reminded me of the 2000s. You know, the 2000s, we've talked about this before on the show many times, but in the late 90s, tech stocks were booming, and that was the place to make your money. And everybody thought the bubble would never burst.
And then the dot-com bubble bursted.
It burst. It burst. And when it burst, it left a lot of people with a lot less money than they thought they'd have otherwise. So, you know, when I talk about diversification on the show, I don't think of diversification as a this stock or that stock decision. I think of diversification as here's some money in the stock market, here's some money in CDs at the bank, here's some money in an annuity that provides you some kind of guaranteed income, and each bucket of money sort of doing its own thing, you have a much better chance of being successful. So also on my house call on Friday, risk adverse, 90% of her money in tech stocks, not really sure why. She owned a couple of, her and her husband owned a couple of variable annuities with income benefits on it.
Variable annuities.
Variable annuities.
So they pay differently every month.
No, I love that you asked those questions, Dave. Thank you. Variable means it's in the stock market.
Ah.
Variable results. Could go up, could go down, but it's an underlying investment is in the stock market, okay? So the way a variable annuity works, and I basically gave this client the explanation, is you buy into the stock market and you've got some guarantees that come with annuities, either it's principal protection, maybe some lock-in of future gains. In this case, what it was an income play. It was a guaranteed minimum income benefit, a GMIB, we call it, guaranteed minimum income benefit. And what she gets as the result of the stock market, no one knows. So simple math, she puts in 100, I think now, I think when we looked at the account on Friday, it was worth maybe $150,000. So she had made $50,000 in stock market gains since she's owned this contract. But what was most interesting to me is the income part of it. I said, do you know how this works? And she gave me that blank stare, no. And I said, well, you're paying for this, you know, you're paying for this. And I said, really, I'm glad you have it, the GMIB, guaranteed minimum income benefits, because I said, if you didn't, really what I would think you'd have is a very overpriced mutual fund. So with annuities, you know, the reason people use annuities in the planning field, and also clients sometimes seek them out, is they provide guarantees contractually that other types of investments like stocks, bonds, and mutual funds just simply do not do. So there's some guarantees there. So anyway, long story short, as I educated the client, I said, you know what you really have here is you have a variable annuity with a guaranteed minimum income benefit that's going to provide you $9,000 or so dollars a year guaranteed for the rest of your life. And she said, yeah, that's right. I know that because I've read this before. I said, okay, good, good, good. And she goes, but I have to wait 18 years to do it. I said, who said that? And she said, well, when I read it, there's two dates they show me. There's year 11 and there's year 18. I said, yeah, that's just showing you the longer you wait, the bigger it gets. But you don't have to wait 18 years to get it. She goes, I don't? I said, no, no. And I said, in my opinion, my humble opinion, you don't have to wait 18 years, and nor should you. Because with insurance products like annuities, you have to remember you're paying fees, and those fees are guaranteeing certain results. In this case, they're guaranteeing future income payments for life. Well, let's all think about it. I'm paying the insurance company a 1.5% fee a year for guaranteed income for life. If I don't take income for life, did I really justify the fee I paid them? No, it doesn't work. So I told her, if I was her, the soonest I would take that income check is the day I know I'm going to spend it. And that's kind of my motto all the time with my clients is, if you are going to spend money, then take the money. Do that. That's what they're for. That's what this particular product was for. So, you know, we had a long talk with this particular client on Friday about why she owns things, what they do for her, and why she really owns them, and why they're good or why they're not. So, you know, again, when you talk about diversification, you don't want to have all your money in tech. That's just a recipe for disaster. It's bound to bite you in the butt on the long run. And again, if you're going to be purchasing an annuity, you have to understand why you're purchasing an annuity.
So when you have an annuity and you get funds from that, obviously that's income, capital gains probably, but that's beside the point. Do you have to take a certain amount, or can you take as much as you want?
And Dave, and I always want to answer your questions because I know the audience wants to know those answers. But the real answer is it depends. You know, there are 5-year annuities, 7-year annuities that at the end of 5 or 7 years, you can take all your money out. You could take 100% of your money out. But then again, should you? That's always the question, right? Can you and should you? You can. But should you?
No.
You know, what I use a lot of annuities for in my practice is I use them for guaranteed income, like this particular client had, where I can carve out a piece of your assets and say, okay, you tell me you're a moderate investor and you want to have only so much money exposed to the risk of the market. Okay, I heard you. I listened. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that portion that you do not want exposed to risk, and we're going to look for some type of an annuity that provides guarantees, whether it's guaranteed principal back, whether it's guaranteed, you know, rate of return, or whether it's guaranteed future income payments. And the things that I try to focus my clients obviously on, based on what we talk about on the show on a daily, weekly basis, is it's income.
How do they differ from dividends?
Well, dividends are income paid by stocks.
And percentages?
Well, they're paid by share. So if XYZ company declares a 25 cent per share dividend, if I own 4 shares of that company, they're going to send me $1. They're going to send me $1, okay? That is not contractually guaranteed. The dividends can change,
right,
or they can stop altogether depending on if the company has profits or not. With an annuity payment, those payments are guaranteed. Generally, if you follow the contract, that's the key, they're guaranteed for life. So, you know, if you have an annuity company, XYZ again, and, you know, it says that if you don't monkey with it, you follow the rules, that the income base will grow to $200,000, and then they'll start sending you 6% of that income base, $200,000 for the rest of your life. Well, that's 12 grand a year. That would be contractually guaranteed. So that's the difference, where they can't change it. They can't monkey with it. It would remain the same forever. So that's the difference. What annuities provide are certainty. You know, so the way I explain it to clients is, when you buy an annuity with a portion of your stock market assets, you've increased your income certainty and you've lowered your stock market instability. So we'll take our first break and come back strong. And again, if you've got questions regarding risk, you know, how investments work, give the office a call, 508-673-3300. I'd be happy to walk you through it.
For baby boomers, here's something to think about. Will you have enough income during your retirement? Are you absolutely sure? Do you understand the difference between growth and income? How about bonds and bond funds? Are you 100% ready for RMDs? Do you have an estate plan? If you've said no to any of these, we can help. Right now, for the first 5 callers, we'll send you a free, custom-designed, animated video retirement kit to help you plan for the retirement you've worked so long and so hard for. These custom video kits are loaded with cutting-edge retirement technology, custom designed to your specific areas of need. There's nothing else like them. So call right now to receive your very own custom-designed animated video retirement kit. Call 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. Call now or visit us online at financialplanninghour.com. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Question for Richard. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480. For the break, I was talking about a recent client review where we were kind of educating more on investments she already owned and investments we were managing her for. And I thought it was interesting, you know, having a clear idea of how your investments all fit together, I think, is the number one thing you should focus on if you want financial stability. And not only, you know, in the money part, but also in your mental part. You want to be able to understand how all these pieces work together and why they work together. And, you know, if you don't understand it, it's okay to ask them to explain it to you again and again and again until you figure it out. I'm reminded of another client story I had. I've had this client for years and years now, but when they first came in, we made some investment changes, and she brought in that yellow legal pad, you know, tight spaces on it, and she filled up pages and pages of questions. And every time I'd answer a question, she'd write down the answers, and she'd go home and she'd study it. And this continued for three or four meetings. And each time she was very apologetic. You know, I'm so sorry. I just want to make sure I understand it. And my response as the financial advisor was, don't ever apologize for asking a question. I was raised by educators, and my mother and father always taught me the only dumb question was the one you didn't ask. So I think it's important to make sure you have a clear sense of it. So anyway, as I was saying, this particular client last week, she had about 90% of her money in tech stocks, which is fine if you're someone who's young or someone who wants to take on a lot of risk. But if you're someone who's in their 60s and thinking about transitioning from growth to that, you know, income distribution stage, you're probably not in the right place. Generally, tech stocks don't pay a lot of dividends. And I was talking about the late 90s, and I said, you know, I think it's time we should review that. So the last 4 years, 5 years of the 90s, we had that stock market boom that people still talk about today. They called it the tech bubble. In 1995, large growth stocks made 38%. In 1995, 38%. That's a really good year.
Large growth stocks?
Yeah.
Define well, that for
blue
me.
Blue chips.
Okay.
You know, things like that, Coca-Cola, Walmart, you know, big companies, large growth stocks.
IBM?
IBM, yeah. In 95, they made 38%. This is an average, of course, across all industries, Dave. In 1996, the large cap stocks made 24%. In 1997, they made 36%. And in 1998, they made 42%. And then last but not least, in 1999, they made 28%. So there you were, 5 years of 38, 24, 36, 42, and 28% returns. No wonder why there was a bubble.
I guess.
Because it was growing and growing and growing, and everybody was happy because they were making money hand over fist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the ugly 2000s came, 2000 to 2003. 2000, it was down 22%. 2001, it was down 13%, and 2002, it was down 23%. That's where people tell you from 2000 to 2002, the stock market lost 50%. Did it? Absolutely. Absolutely. But if we look at the 5 years before, it made a lot more than 50%. So that's the other part of it you got to keep in mind is that, you know, generally after 4 or 5 years of really good, historically good returns, you're going to have a couple of years of bad, you know, bad results. Look what happened last year in 2023. We had a down middle of the year. People who remained patient and, you know, optimistic ended up finishing the year up. And all it took was November and December's numbers to skew that year into a positive year for stock market investors. So you've got to remember that. So, you know, as we go through the show today, keep in mind, you know, we call it the financial planning hour, but really our focus is on retirement and retirement income planning. And you've got to understand that if you're someone who wants to take on the risk the stock market provides you, well, there's some limitations to that, and you've also got to think about how you're going to be withdrawing money. That 4% rule is the jumping off point. It's not the end all be all. It's not the Bible, but it certainly is a good place to start is how much income can you take? Well, the experts tell you the starting point is 4%. So, you know, if you're retired or near retiring and, you know, you're wondering if you're taking the right amount of risk in your portfolio, the answer is maybe, maybe not. And I know that's not a satisfactory answer, but you've got to ask yourself, you know, what kind of risk are we talking about? Because I think a lot of people in my industry and clients I work with understand market risk, that the market could go down, right? But there's a lot of other risks they never talk about. They don't think about it, I don't think. And a good example is interest rate risks. You know, have you ever thought about that, Dave? Interest rate risk. And you say, what, Dave, what's interest rate risk? Well, imagine if you're someone who's been laddering annuities or CDs or bonds. That's
laddering.
Laddering.
That has to do with maturity rates.
Yeah, staggering maturity dates, and that way you have accounts that are maturing at different times, and therefore you've kind of got a steady flow of income coming from the interest rates you're earning, but also, you know, every 2 years one of these investments comes due, if you will, and therefore you have to go out and find another place to put it, right? So again, back to my example, Dave, good question. If you were somebody who was laddering investments 20 years ago and you were starting in the late 80s and the rates were good, say 8%, let's say, and you said, wow, that's really good. I'm going to always find 8%. But guess what? You didn't, because a year later or 2 years later, rates were at 7% and then 6%. And then all the way down in 2020, when rates went to 0%, it was common for me to see CDs from clients 0.50, 0.60%, 0.20%, because that's what rates had gone down to. Now, I actually have a client who's been laddering in a good time. He's been laddering over the last 10 years or so of our relationship, so his ladders have worked really well for him. As COVID came, as inflation came, as recession potential came, they started raising rates rapidly to bring down inflation and hopefully stave off the recession. And by doing that, my particular client was replacing the rates he had of 2.5% or 3% now with rates in the 4.5% to 5.5% range. So he's actually won out in that regard. The problem is, of course, is 5 or 7 years from now, we're going to have to find him new rates. And chances are that rates, after they go up, are going to come down. So you've got to think about that. You know, so that's interest rate risk, and that applies to all investments, because interest rate hikes and drops affect the stock market, the bond market, and of course, the overall fixed market when we talk about CDs, annuities, and similar type bank products. So you've got to think about that. You know, ultimately, that's something where I think people forget. And what happens, Dave, is, you know, people get numb to the risks they're taking with their investments when things do well. You know, imagine back in 1995, you know, that run we went on. And I imagine if I met Dave Brown in 1998 after a 4-year run of 38, 24, 36, and 42% positive. And I was like, Dave, you know, the stock market's going to probably go down eventually. You might want to lower your market exposure. You know what Dave would say? Yeah, right, guy. Look, I've made money 4 years in a row, double digit returns, sometimes triple, almost triple digit, you know, 38%. Why would I ever listen to you telling me to lower my risk? And I'd say, well, you know, Dave, you made your money in the market, but you can't keep it in the market, right? And Dave would probably say, yeah, did you see my 4 years of returns, guy? I'm doing pretty darn good. And he would have been right up until 2000 when things started to go the other way. You know, I think what really freaked people out in the early 2000s was their account values doubled and tripled quickly. So now that money was theirs. And they're like, whoa, 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 what do you mean my $300,000 401k is going back down to 200? No, it's not. That's unacceptable. And that's when people got really squirrely about where they were investing their money, and also, you know, what type of changes they were making, rapid changes sometimes, because they were kept looking for that next greatest rate of return investment. And unfortunately, some years it's just not there. So, you know, there's market risk, I think most of us understand, but then there's other types of risks, like I'm suggesting, you know, interest rate risk is another one. So you've got to keep that in mind as you go through the stock market, you know, sort of cycles, because you are not going to retire in just an up market, or as that matters, in just a down market. You're going to retire in a market that changes, and it's going to change sometimes pretty quickly, rapidly, and sometimes it's going to be out of your control. So you've got to be prepared for it, not only from a mental standpoint, but also from a financial standpoint. So we'll take our next break, come right back strong. Again, if you've got questions or concerns, you're worried about where your retirement income will come from in retirement, you can give my office a call, 508-673-3300.
In a world filled with volatile markets and risky, high-fee investment choices, you feel alone and confused.
Does the thought of planning for retirement remind you of a scary Hollywood movie trailer? Call now for a free, no-obligation retirement income kit packed full of easy-to-understand information designed to help you create and maintain steady, predictable retirement income that can never be lost in the market. Call today, 855-406-6218, or download it now, financialplanninghour.com. You've worked too long and too hard to allow your retirement to play out like a scary movie trailer. So call right now, 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. Today we're talking about risk. Really, what got me started was a meeting I had last week with a client who had a lot of risk in their portfolio and really didn't have a reason for it, had the money they needed for a successful retirement, had income set up through an annuity plus Social Securities and pensions and the like, and just really didn't have an idea of how all their investments fit together. And I thought that was an important concept to talk about today on the show because, you know, ultimately, it's all about how your investments work that matters and how they work together. I'm reminded of another client's story, and this was an interesting one. This is somebody I've known for a long time, and he had an account that I had managed for him for years and years, really about 10 years or so, and it was an income play. We were waiting for him to take income, and he started his check, wouldn't you know it, in November of 2019. And here we go. We told him we were going to set you up with a monthly check. It would be guaranteed for the rest of your life through the particular investment you have, and it was good to go, and he was very happy with that. He was very happy, and he waited quite some time to take it. So the check he got when we started sending him, it was a lot bigger than the check he would have got if he had started it immediately. Anyway, long story short, fast forward 4 months later, COVID comes. Stock market sells off about 40% in a two-week period, and this particular client calls me. I remember we were in a lockdown, whatever that means to you, and so we were locked down, and my wife and I couldn't, you know, go to work, so I was doing a lot of calls from my cell phone in the house. And me and this client talked, and you know, our basic conversation was, "Hey, the stock market's down 40%. I should stop that check, huh?" And I said, "Why?" And he says, "Well, you know, the market's down 40%." And I said, "Yes, Mr. Client, I know the market's down 40%, but don't you remember why we carved out this portion of money for this particular investment?" And he says, "No, but remind me." I said, "Guaranteed income for life, regardless of stock market performance, regardless of remaining account value, and regardless of how long you live." I never said only if the market's up, only if you live a short amount of time. I never said any of that. And he said, "No, you're right. You didn't. You said it was guaranteed for life no matter what happens." I said, "Right. So are you spending your money that we're sending you?" He goes, "Yeah, it's really important. It helps make all the bills work. And as a result, I can work less and retire completely when I decide I want to." I said, "Right. Why would you stop that?" And his answer was, "I guess I wouldn't." I said, "Perfect."
I guess I didn't know any better.
Well, that's what it is. And that's somebody, and I'm telling you, that's somebody I educated every year in an annual review, plus when we initially started working together. But people just don't know. So, you know, I think when it comes to risk, it's something I think is important because people tend to get numb to it, as I said earlier. When the markets have done well for so long, they really haven't had any major downturns in the markets for a while. People become complacent. You know, we talk about the pandemic, as I just mentioned, it's down about 40% in the beginnings of 2020, but because of federal and you know local government stimulus, everything came back pretty quickly. You know, back in 2020, if you stayed the course, remained invested in the market, you would have finished the year strong. But I think people get a little bit numb to all of that because of that. So, you know, I think part of the problem is a lot of people become complacent. And I think it's natural when things are going really well, they just say, "Hey, you know, things are continuing to go well. I'm not going to change anything." But, you know, like I've mentioned in the past, it can catch you unaware, especially if you have too much risk and you're not prepared for it. So, you know, something I did with a client today, actually, who I signed up as a new client before I came over here, I asked her 8-9 questions. And it was, you know, if you had four portfolios to choose from and this was the best result and this was the worst result and this was the average result, which one would you take? And she said she would pick answers. And I said, "Okay, perfect, perfect, perfect." And when I was done with her 8 questions, I said, "Thanks for playing along. It wasn't the newlywed game. It wasn't the dating game. The reason I asked those 8 questions, they were pretty, you know, philosophical, was now it gives me an idea of what kind of risk person she was." And for her, in this case, she was a moderate conservative. So moderate conservative means to me, you know, there's the middle, there's the conservative side, there's the aggressive side. She's in the moderate conservative side, so she's leaning more conservatively than middle. And as a result, when I crafted the portfolio for her, I showed her that we could have a mix of stocks and bonds in the portfolio. Ultimately, moderate conservative means to me you're going to have more bonds than stocks. And I told her that's fine. Just keep in mind that the more bonds we add in general, the less return, the less alpha we have the potential for, but also the less chance for risk. And she was fine with that. She was fine with that. But I think what she really enjoyed about it was the explanation. the rationale behind the decision making. Nothing's worse than, especially in today's age with all the knowledge we have on computer, someone says, oh, don't worry, just trust me, I've done this a long time. No, that doesn't work, especially when it comes to money. What we want to talk about is, here's the rationale behind it. Are you in agreement with us? Are you a good fit for our rationale? And if not, we can change, or we can decide not to work together, whatever's going to work best, right? That's a potential too. So, you know, I think yet you've got to be aware of the risk you're taking and the potential risk you're taking, and understand how all your investment decisions work together. So there's lots of risk. People say that risk is relative to inflation, purchasing power, risk, and other types of risk. But I'm going to focus on the most tangible risk when it comes to actual losses and investments. And there are really two types. One is called volatility risk. Now, you can think about volatility, what that means to you. But if you're diversified in a portfolio, then unless literally our country completely falls financially and the world fails financially, you're not going to lose all your money. So, you know, if we think about the last three, and I've been part of them because I've been working with clients that whole period, market meltdowns, crashes, whatever you want to call them, 2000, 2008, and 2020, okay? No one lost everything. No one lost everything if you were in a diversified portfolio. Now, there's a caveat there. You notice I said the words diversified portfolio. What if you were in two stocks? Well, you might have lost everything then. And that's where diversification comes in. You know, because there are people that can tell you better than I. Back in the late 90s, there was all sorts of dot-com companies that no longer exist. They have just been wiped off the map. They were even acquired. Some went to bankruptcy. Some failed completely, you know, went into receivership. But ultimately, you know, if you're somebody who diversified amongst many investments, you were able to weather those storms and those major market downturns. The problem is those people that, instead of doing that, they went the opposite way. So they went into one or two stocks, and I'm reminded of my actual brother-in-law. So this is a bit of a personal story, but I don't mind telling it. I'm sure he does, but that's okay.
He's not listening.
So, you know, he works for EMC. And if you understand that company, they've now been acquired by Dell. They're a big company, data storage, and, you know, all that kind of stuff they do. And back in the 90s, they were the place to be. You know, there were articles, many articles, I'd say at least four or five that I can remember, of EMC janitors working on the, you know, in the buildings over there on their campus, retiring with millions of dollars because they were cashing out their stock and their stock options that they purchased or were given while they worked at EMC. The downside is, if you invested all your money in EMC, eventually the dot-com bubble burst, like we talked about earlier, and that stock went from, you know, the 200s down to the single-digit prices. And if you did not sell in time, you lost that money. You lost that value. Now, it's true, you did not lose shares, but you didn't have to. You had lost a lot of money for each particular share. So, you know, for every janitor that was pictured with his $1 million big check, I'm retired, look at me, there was a lot of people who didn't sell out in time and ended up losing a big part of their life savings. So, you know, a lot of times when I see clients come in and they have 50% or more of their 401k invested in one particular stock, oftentimes with the company that they're working for, I try to convince them almost immediately that is a big mistake, because sometimes with problems, we're too close to it to realize it. You know, think about weight gain. Do you notice every pound you gain? No, of course not. You're too close to it. But if you haven't seen your friend in 3 years and all of a sudden you're 30 pounds heavier, he's going to notice it real quick. Yep. Because he's going to say, wow, I remembered you like this and now you're like this. It's the same thing. You know, if you're over invested in stocks in your 401k, especially if they're stocks that you actually work for the company, you may not see all the problems that your company has because you're too busy living it, you know, that culture every day. And as a result, you know, you may miss some opportunities to sell off stock while you still have gains. And understanding that, you know, diversification, again, it's not just having different stocks, it's having completely different investment stocks, bonds, mutual funds, annuities, CDs, money market accounts, and the like. And you'll just be better off that way, doing it that way. Because that way, you know, in a bad year, if you've got low risk cash investments, you can take the cash from there, and your stock market investments will give you more time to recover the losses, which in the long run will put you in a better position. So, you know, unfortunately, I think for a lot of us, the reason we go so heavy into the stock market is we have to. We have to take the risk because we want to make the money because we made bad decisions somewhere else along our investment and our, you know, adulthood. Maybe we bought a too expensive house. Maybe we go on too many expensive vacations. You know, I have one client, honest to God, and, you know, God bless his heart, and I mean it when I say it, but ultimately he lives at home, you know, mom and dad's house with his wife and two kids. And the last time I talked to him, he says he wants to have six kids all together, so four more kids. And I think that's great. If you want to if you want to have enough kids to field a basketball team with a with one on the bench, that's fine. But as I reminded him, you know, Mr. Klein, I'd really prefer, if it was me, and I don't know how your parents think about it, but I'd really prefer before you have four more kids, you buy your own house. Because what you're doing is you're putting an unrealistic burden on your parents. And they may not be the one to tell it to you, but I will.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, that's the problem I think some of us have, is that we're becoming the sandwich generation where we're trying to take care of our aging parents, but we're also trying to deal with our younger children who are really still a burden on us. We love them, but financially, they're still a burden on us. So you have to be aware of that and make sure that you take steps to avoid that. My wife over the weekend, hopefully the in-laws aren't listening, my wife over the weekend got into a spat with her parents about, you know, spending time together. And I kept telling my wife, I said, you need to remind your parents that they're retired and we work. And although we respect their time, that when it comes to get together on a random Saturday, they probably have more flexibility in their schedules than we do because of our son, because of our working, time and all the rest of it that goes with it. So I think it's just, it's, I think as Americans, we're getting away from the one-on-one conversations, where I think that's really the best place to have conversations, because you don't get the phone involved. You don't get Facebook messaging involved. You just have a one-to-one conversation, and Dave says something I don't like, I can tell him why I don't like it.
And you can tell me right away.
Exactly. And that way there's no animosity or hurt feelings, and it's just better off. And I think the same thing comes to take place when you're in, you know, talking about money. You know, I don't want to do Zoom calls, and I don't want to do call waiting 100 and speak to somebody else each time. Before I came over to the radio today, I was making a call to an investment company to do a rollover for a particular client, and halfway through the call, they hung up on us. Now, I'm sure it wasn't intentional, although I think it was. And I think what happened is her computer system froze, and she's working from home. So instead of, you know, getting us to another co-worker that could complete the process for us, she just hits the disconnect button. And it was so funny because my clients are sort of old school, and they said, oh, well, you know, we never got her callback number. I said, oh, you don't need that, because trust me, that's a call center. They can't get calls in. They can only get calls in. They can't make calls out. And my clients are like, really? I'm like, really? This is the way the world works now. So, you know, when we talk about risk, we oftentimes think about investment risk as simply just a risk of loss or, you know, the potential for gain. And there's much more to it. So, you know, there's diversification risk. You can be over diversified, under diversified. And again, interest rate risk is a huge issue, as I mentioned early. And ultimately there's volatility risk, and, you know, there's the risk that you're putting all your eggs in one basket. So we'll take our last break and come back strong. But again, you know, if you've got questions or concerns, you want to retire successfully and need help doing it, you can call my office at 508-673-3300.
Investing in the stock market these days is like riding a roller coaster. Leaving a place of safety, get on the coaster, hear the clickety-clack as you experience anticipation climbing to the top of the hill, followed by sheer panic as you plummet back to the earth, hoping you stay on track. You might be brave enough to repeat the process several times, going up and down, but never achieving higher highs and accomplishing nothing but anticipation followed by fear. The stock market has been doing this same ride of volatility with no real growth. Proper education, though, can help you find a better way to grow your money during these times.
So, how's this latest stock market roller coaster treating you? It's time to get off and call Richard Bassett right now at 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today for a few more minutes. So today we've been talking about risk, how much risk is appropriate, how much risk are you taking, do you understand the risk you're taking, and ultimately I would think, and unfortunately it's my experience, is that many people don't know that. They just don't know, and they get lulled into a sense of, you know, false security sometimes, or, you know, a sense that it all works itself out. And I think for most people it is true, it does work itself out, but there's a big caveat there when I say that, and that is, are you still investing? Are you still working, contributing, or are you in retirement mode and you're actually beginning to withdraw money? Because once you begin withdrawing money, all bets are off. Your recovery rate goes up tremendously if you're taking withdrawals. Last year, I had a conversation with a client's child. Those are my favorites. And oftentimes we can convert the kids into clients as well. When this client child came in with the client, they were kind of comparing their 401k versus the money I manage for mom and dad. And the kid's response was, you know, my accounts are doing better than what you're doing for mom and dad. Why don't I just handle what mom and dad, have? And I said, well, first of all, let's talk about some basics. One, do you really want the responsibility of handling mom and dad's money? I don't know. When you say that out loud, it doesn't sound great. I said, yeah, if they're mad at you on Thanksgiving, there's no hiding from them. But in more serious note, I said to him, I said, you know, the truth of the matter is, have you understood why I'm not making as much money as your 401k is making? And he said, no. I said, well, one, mom and dad are 40 years older than you. Let's start there. So their risk tolerance is different. He said, okay, I didn't think about that. I said, well, that's a good place to start. I said, also, are you contributing to your 401k? He goes, yes, every 2 weeks I get paid, I add money to it. I said, right. Your parents aren't contributing to it. In fact, they're taking money out of it every 2 weeks or every, you know, once a month type of thing. Oh, you know what? That's a good point. I said, yeah, add the money back in. They're not taking out. Add money they are making. You know, if they were actually making contributions, and believe it or not, my results are better than yours, is what I told him. And he says, you know what? There's a lot of things I didn't think about before I kind of came in. And I said, yeah, it's normal. We look at our accounts as if they're ours. Financial advisors look at accounts as if they're not ours, because they're not. They're our clients. So if I'm meeting with an 85-year-old client and she tells me she wants to make money and she wants to eliminate 100% of risk, well, that's not going to be a stock market investment, is it? That's going to be something completely safe, guaranteed, something that I can sleep at night knowing she feels comfortable with. But if I have a client that comes in and says, I'm 52 years old and I haven't saved enough, I've got to take risks to make money that I don't have so I can retire someday in the future. Well, that's going to be some component, at least partially, in the stock market. So again, what your outcome is, or what your desired outcome is, should affect your investment decision-making process and what kind of investments you put your money in. You know, the Dow Jones, some people call it the Dow 30. You know why there's 30 companies in it? Because it's 30 diversified companies. That's why people use it as the stock market. It is the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Only consists of 30 companies. There's also the S&P 500. That's 500 different companies. That's probably a little bit too much diversification, really, if you were going to make that portfolio on your own. But having somewhere in the 20 or 30 range probably will give you a better idea of, one, how you're doing compared to the overall market, and then ultimately, you know, should you be making those tweaks and changes or not?
You know, I'm just curious. You just mentioned the Dow,
yep,
and the S&P.
Yeah.
Now, are these all United States companies, or is this an international group of?
The Dow and the S&P are generally, they're not going to be all U.S. companies, but the large majority will be. There's lots of different indexes. So yeah, there's the Russell 2000, there's the NASDAQ. And, you know, it's funny, some companies might be U.S. based, but do more business overseas. So, quick example, Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
That's a U.S.-based company. They're out of Atlanta, Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. But where do they make most of their money? Overseas. Every country in the world drinks Coca-Cola.
Sure.
Okay. Then you look at another country, a company like the company that makes Irish Spring, Unilever, I believe it is. Well, they sell their Irish Spring soap in America. So that's a non-U.S. company that does most of their business in the U.S.
And each country has its own stock market or stock markets.
Stock markets, exactly. Each one will have their own stock markets, usually more than one. Again, with ours, we have different ones depending on, you know, the New York Stock Exchange is the number one, but there's the Chicago Stock Exchange. There's others. And others have specialties. Like in Chicago, it's more textiles and you know, pig's feed and all that kind of stuff. The stuff you like to talk about sometimes, commodities.
Yeah.
So with that said, you know, the bottom line of today as we run out of time is that you've got to make sure you're making the appropriate risk. And if you're being asked to take a risk, you're just not sure of why you're being asked to risk. Take that risk. Ask the question, you know, how does this diversification that you're pushing on me work, and does it benefit me long term, and what am I getting out of it? So, you know, with that said, I'm going to a little bit longer. My phone number in the office is 508-673-3300. You can find us on Facebook, and our website is jmarshallfinancial.com. And if you do call the office again at 508-673-3300, we will offer you a free consultation. You can come in, speak to us, you know, get some facts on paper, and then we can start to make some recommendations that benefit you and your family going forward. With that said, Dave, what's going on in the real estate world?
Always something new and exciting going on in the real estate world. I'm David Brown, realtor with High Point Properties. Phone number 508-277-3297. And I was just reading an article in the National Association of Realtors today, the NAR, and they were referring to none other than the Federal Reserve and how they're hinting around about lowering interest rates and how that would affect how the housing market and the housing mortgage rates. Now, you know, when the Fed changes or hints that they're going to change the interest rate, it doesn't directly affect very many industries, but it affects them indirectly all the time, and lots of different stuff, and of course including mortgage rates. And you know, they only hinted around about lowering them, but it's already lowered the interest rates from 2 weeks ago. I mean, as of the week ending February 1st, a 30-year mortgage was on average 6.63%. The week before, it was 6.69%. So just a little hint that they might lower rates will affect the whole consumer confidence reality. But you know, take it on the other hand, a year ago at this time, a 30-year mortgage rate was 6.09, as opposed to this week's 6.63. So It's gone up since a year ago, but it's come down just because the Fed just whispers that maybe, possibly. And, you know, this is going to bring, you'd think that with the mortgage rates going down, prices would go down as well. But that may or may not be true because, you know, the bottom line is more people are going to be selling their houses. That's what's going to lower the price. So, I'm David Brown, Realtor High Point Property. That's your little hint about real estate and the mortgage rates today. Call me up, 508-277-3297. Thanks.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.